August 31st, 1988, Frank Vandiver resigned as Texas A&M president to head the Mosier Defense Institute at the university, a program focused on national defense. He had been the university president for 7 years. And established the Mosier Defense Studies Institute to develop ideas for national defense. But the big one today, this is a forfer on Today in Aggie History. Again, all the Aggie histories, myaggination.com. Here's the big one today. August 31st, 1942, George Gay appeared on the cover of Life magazine. Gay left school early to join the U.S. Navy and was commissioned as an ensign in 1941. Was featured in Life magazine after he was the only survivor from Torpedo Squadron 8, which attacked a Japanese carrier fleet during the Battle of Midway. His plane was shot down overseas, and he spent 30 hours in the water on a raft. How about that? He was given during his time in the military, he got the Navy Cross, Purple Heart, Presidential Unit Citation, and an Air Medal, and was later promoted to Lieutenant Commander. There you go. That is your days in Aggie history from MyAggieNation.com. We're going to go to the big break. When we come back, Stephen McGee, stay with us. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Your favorite team, the Yankees, Astros, Rangers, and Texans, all play on the Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150. This is KZNE, KNDHD3, and KNDHD4, K274CM. College Station Bryan.
I'm Jay Berman. This report is brought to you by Barbasol Shaving Cream, America's leader for a close, comfortable shave, now with new rust-proof aluminum bottoms. All right, coming up in just a matter of seconds, right here on CBS Sports Radio, joining Doug Gottlieb, the one and only Andrew Luck. Keep it locked. Again, to CBS Sports Radio, Andrew Luck coming up next with Doug. All right, lots of other football news. Tom Brady, Roger Goodell, whole bunch of lawyers, all back in front of Judge Richard Berman in Manhattan earlier today. No settlement, decision expected at some point in the coming days. Elsewhere, the Jags traded Josh Scobie to the Steelers. Bills released Fred Jackson. They also named Tyrod Taylor their starting quarterback. The Redskins named Kirk Cousins their starting quarterback for week one. The Skins will host Miami in their season opener. Detroit, they've cut veteran wide receiver Ryan Broyles. Bears did the same with Tim Jennings. All right, baseball now, a pair of significant dingers from Sunday. How about Big Poppy?
Ortiz to right field, down the line, and that ball is gone.
All right, David Ortiz, 494 career long balls. He passed both Lou Gehrig and Fred McGriff on the all-time homer list. Meanwhile, north of the border.
That's got a chance to go up, up, up. There she goes.
Edwin Encarnacion now has 30 home runs on the season and a 25-game hitting streak. Meanwhile, the Jays have hired longtime Cleveland president Mark Shapiro for the same position. Shapiro expected to keep GM Alex Anthopoulos. The Yankees put a claim in on David Robertson. It was revocable waivers from the White Sox. The White Sox pulled him back. I'm Jay Berman.
We've got the latest football news. Expect it here. CBS Sports Radio.
Chelsea Reber with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by RP Lee Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rpleepestcontrol.com. The Grimes Health Resource Center is presenting a senior health and activity day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Thursday at the Navasota Center. For more information, call 936-873-4575. The Girl Scouts of Central Texas would like to welcome you to their Women of Distinction event on Thursday from 6 to 8:30 at Miramont Country Club. For more information, call 774-0050. Today, partly sunny with a high near 93. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 72. The Zone headquarters in Houston will be at the Holiday Inn NRG. You can stop by for the pregame show, stay the night after the game, or look for game day parking. For more information, visit the events tab at zone1150.com.
From the rolling prairie to the piney woods and everywhere in between, a Mueller metal roof is always right at home. Our variety of panel styles and color choices complement your natural landscape, providing both outstanding beauty and protection to your home. And wouldn't you love to have a worry-free roof overhead? With a 30-year limited paint warranty, our energy-efficient coatings will provide a fresh and vibrant look for decades. Visit our website at MuellerInc.com to view our photo gallery and take advantage of the interactive color selector tool to help you decide which panel and color style best suits your style of home. Remember, every Mueller roof is made by Mueller in one of our three manufacturing facilities. And with 29 sales locations across the Southwest, Mueller is always ready to deliver friendly, personal service before, during, and after your purchase. Call us today at 877-2-MUELLER or stop by and see us soon to make a Mueller metal roof part of your natural scenery. That's 877-268-3553.
It's summertime and a great time for sizzling hot deals at Normandy Tractor. If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Normandy Tractor. At Normandy Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. Normandy Tractor has the new Kubota L2501 HST 25 horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front end loader, 5-foot land pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Priced with an incredible $800 finance rebate, $700 to implement rebate, and a $500 cash rebate, making your price only $18,395 or $241 per month. Normandy asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Normandy Tractor is aggressively pricing all equipment bought with your new tractor, so now is the time to make the drive to Normandy Tractor. Voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials too at normandytractor.com. Normandy Tractor, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy, Texas. And remember, nobody beats Norm G Tractor.
Catch up on the Longhorns, the Big 12, and football from around the state with Cedric Golden of the Austin American Statesman each Friday at 11:30 on the Louis Belina Show, powered by teamofnevasota.com.
And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome back. Second hour of Aggie Nation. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. Hanging out, we're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out mscopus.org for all the information on the events coming to you. The season that dreams are made of. Ticket information, all that great stuff available at mscopus.org. Check that out. Keep your calls coming, 693-1150 or text us 229-1939. Still a couple texts we got to get to that people were saying a while ago. But first, Cease, we are joined by former Texas A&M quarterback, former Dallas Cowboy quarterback, Stephen McGee. Stephen, how are we doing today? Well, it doesn't help if I don't put him on the air. CeCe can't answer. Stephen, how are we doing today?
Man, doing great. Excited to be back on with you guys. My phone is blowing up. Actually, I just got a text from my buddy. He says driving down the road, listening to 1150, and I hear that Stephen McGee is going to be making a weekly appearance on Aggie Nation. Anybody else getting burned out on this guy yet? I think that everyone's excited to hear that I'm back on radio.
Yeah, there you go. Your fans around the Brazos Valley are excited, Stephen. We thought we'd have you on during the season. I told the people earlier, kind of talking about the quarterbacks and stuff like that. Obviously, you know, I'm going to say a little bit more about playing quarterback than me, Cease. I was a defensive tackle back in my early high school and junior high days, so never even tried that side of the ball. But this week, obviously, we haven't seen a game yet. I thought we'd talk more about what it's like going into that first game of the season. Obviously, you did this several times. What is that first week like, especially when it's also the first week of school? You're out there, you're going to class, but you got a big game on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much excitement. I think knowing for 3 weeks that you're going to be going up against your defense, you're tired of the same look. The biggest issue with week one is you don't have any game film of the opponent you're going to play because there's no preseason tape in college. So it's hard for quarterbacks to know exactly what that team is going to do, especially when the first opponent of the year has a new defensive coordinator, has a new offensive coordinator. They're going to look a lot different than they did in prior years, but I always found that to be the most challenging part of week one games is that man, we don't quite know exactly what we're going to get, but you really find out what kind of football team you are. Number one is just how you match up on the field against other guys. But secondly, you know, you figure out how good of a team you're going to have because they have to go out there and play and react to looks that they don't know. And so how much command is your quarterback going to have at the line of scrimmage? We've been preparing all week for Sam Mike blitz, and all of a sudden they're bringing Will free safety. Can the quarterback redirect your protection to get that guy picked up or get your receivers to side adjust and get you in the right play? So that's a lot of the things that are, in my opinion, challenges when you open up against a good team week one. Most of the time, teams seem to play cupcakes, but that's not going to be the case with A&M.
Do you think that's what gave Kyle Allen such an inside track at being the starter, is just the fact he's had that experience of playing in a college football game before, to not only have to deal with what, you know, the actual playing, which only he has done before, but also if they do need to make some big adjustments during the game, that's something that he might be better at doing. Do you think that was a big factor in why he was named the starter?
I certainly think that having maturity in the offense, more command, more understanding, I think that's visible, and you want a guy that's in there that can get your team in and out of the huddle and operate efficiently. I don't think that I don't see him as a guy, even though I haven't played for him personally, as a guy that will not play the best player. And I feel like if Kyler Murray was the best player through training camp, that he would be the starter week one, whether or not he knew the offense, whether they had to tailor it back to fit his strength. So I feel like Kyle Allen just won the job. He's better today than Kyler Murray was for this team to operate efficiently, to, you know, move the ball down the field. So I mean, there's a lot of pressure on an 18-year-old kid to come in and start. And that's why I respect what Kyle Allen did last year. Now, that's not to say that Kyle Allen's going to be the starter for all 12 games this year. He's got to go out and prove himself every week, and I think someone's made that clear. But we'll see how the games play out and how he takes control, and I think it'll be big for Kyler to continue to develop through practices and make the most of second-team reps and give the coaches confidence that if something were to happen to Kyle or if Kyle struggled, that they could put him in there and he could get the job done.
You've been out at practice, and obviously you saw him last year in games. What are your impressions of Kyle Allen? What do you think he does well? What do you think are his biggest strengths? And maybe what do you think he's probably trying to work on right now?
Yeah, I've been very impressed, and from a guy that's watched from the sideline only, I'm obviously not going to be in the huddle with him, and I don't know what his teammates say or think about him, but he seems to be a very cool customer. I love that about a quarterback. Never gets too high, never gets too low. But he's got a confidence about him. He's got an air about him. And, you got to have that quarterback position, certainly. But he just – things don't seem to affect him. You know, he can throw a bad pass and comes back and he's aggressive on the next play. I love to see quarterbacks react negative plays. How do you come back after an interception, after a bad fumble, when it was just a terrible, terrible play on your fault? And I love to see a guy come back aggressively and make a – you know, throw an 18-yard comeback – on time and man-to-man coverage, or throw the post over safety's head and be aggressive, much like a Brett Favre, for the listeners that have no idea what I'm talking about when I say comeback. But just they don't let interceptions or mistakes bother them. They're just cool customers. And I know guys that are in the huddle react well to that, and they see that coolness in their quarterback, much like a Ryan Tannehill, very level-headed guy. So I've been very impressed with that aspect. As far as things that I see that Kyle could get better on, I think the same things that most 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids are getting better on. They don't understand anticipation. And that's something I didn't understand until I got to Dallas, and it was an eye-opening experience for me. I never really heard or thrown a ball with anticipation. It's a new concept for me. And so basically getting the ball out of your hands quickly before a receiver comes out of the break. And I think just what every quarterback needs to do is continually try to be more and more accurate. Put the ball where you want it to be on every throw. So just things that I've seen in practice and then as I've watched him play a little bit, Kyle Allen is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, and I don't think he would tell you that he is. But I think the things that he brings to the table is that he can be that elite level quarterback one day, and I think he's got the right demeanor to get there.
Steven, how do you think the coaches go about getting Kyler Murray significant snaps in game time, in actual games, but not deflate the confidence in Kyle Allen? And what you're most impressed when you look at Kyler Murray?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's that's going to be a fine line. You really got to be careful there. And I don't think that their goal going into a game should be at all to get Kyler Murray into the game. I think you've got to go with Kyle Allen as your guy until he does something that proves to you that he's not your guy. I think hopefully you schedule the people like Rice and Lamar and those places, those teams, and you get Kyler in those games early on, get him significant reps. But as far as an actual game where it's, the game's on the line and it's still meaningful snaps, I think you go with one guy. I don't believe in two quarterback systems. That's just me. We'll see what Stoneman does. I don't think that it's good for your quarterback to have him rotating in and out with a run-type guy that does the zone read and then your starters on the sideline. I just never seen that work out well. And it's hard on your quarterback to get in a good rhythm. And so I think that sets Kyle Allen back. And I don't think it's fair to Kyle. I don't think it allows him to be as good as he can be. And so I think you juggle that. Obviously, you want to get your young guy in there, and he came here to play. So in the world of quarterbacks transfer daily, you don't want that to happen. And we have a great quarterback in Kyler. And the things I've been impressed most with Kyler is the ball comes out of his hand so good. I mean, it's just he's got a quick, efficient throwing motion, and he's got a really good arm. For a guy that's labeled as an athlete, he throws the ball really well. He's got a good snap, and I always say you can look at a guy, and you've seen tons of guys throw the football, and you can just tell if a guy's really got it, and he has it. I mean, the ball just snaps out of his hand. He throws a really good spiral, spins well, and so I've been impressed with what little I have seen of him. But all that to say, I think if you decide Kyle's your guy, you need to let Kyle be your guy.
Steven Adams gone through this situation where they've talked to us, the coaches, about more physical, gone to physicality. When you played, you were a very physical quarterback, maybe almost too much, but football changes. How do you balance finesse and physicality? You're a part of that. Now Adams talking about going back to that. How tough is that to be physical but yet be really good finesse team?
Yeah, I don't think that physicality that someone refers to is the same physicality that we referred to back in the day. Heck, we were trying to pick fights in practice and talk smack, and we're going to run our quarterback 35 times. I don't think that there's a someone mentality that he wants to have a physical quarterback. But I think at the line of scrimmage, you've got to be physical with your front five. There's got to be a demeanor about them, a nastiness. And the first guy that comes to mind is Richie Incognito, and he gets a bad rap in the press, but I just like the fact that he imposes his will every down, and guys don't want to play against him. And you can say he's dirty, he's not dirty, but as a quarterback, I love having that guy on my team because I know he's going to fight his tail off for me. He opposes his will, and D-linemen, quite frankly, don't like to play against the guys like that. So if you can wear them out after four quarters of play, that two-yard gain, that three-yard gain for the first three quarters turns into six and seven, and that's when you really win football games, in that fourth quarter, when your linemen just wear on the guys up front. You're getting up to the linebackers. Obviously, running the ball effectively, you've got to have a running back that can find his cuts and run the ball well and post his will, certainly, and get tough yards after contact. But I think most importantly, when you talk about a physical team, you want your physicality to start up front.
We're chatting with former A&M quarterback Stephen McGee. Stephen, we got a texter who says they wanted to ask you a question. It kind of goes along a little bit with Cease's question, but it's the question is, as a quarterback who could run the ball, what was it like knowing you're about to get hit by a guy that could be 100 pounds heavier than you, and how did the coaches feel about it? I think I would add to the question is, you know, did y'all work on, or do quarterbacks work on, if you're going to run the ball, which it looks like A&M's going to do with the quarterback some, we've seen some zone read stuff in practice a little bit, is there a technique, and can you teach the ability to run the ball without taking big hits at the quarterback position?
Absolutely. I don't think that any quarterback, if I was a quarterback coach, I would teach them to play the exact opposite that I played. So let me get that out of the way first and foremost. In fact, whenever I got to Dallas, they used to make fun of me. I think we called a naked, and I was rolling out to my right, and I had a tight end open just 2 yards from me in the flat, and I pointed, you know, you run, go block. And I took off running. I got 10 yards, and my quarterback coach just got all over me and said, he gets paid to make that play. You get paid to get him the ball. Never do that again. So I learned early on that, if, you know, as a quarterback, there's times, I think Coach Rossley said it best whenever he was at A&M. He said, you know, I don't want you to run and get 4 first downs a game, but there's going to come a time in the 2-minute drill when I need you to go get 1 first down. On 3rd down, you use your legs, go get 4 or 5 yards and get the first down and keep the sticks going. That's when I need you to use your legs. I think that little bit of frustration when a defense has your guys covered up on 3rd down and they're ready to get off the field and a quarterback that they aren't expecting to run goes and gets the first down, that breaks the defense back. They hate that. So I think it would be I'm not saying a quarterback doesn't need to go dive and get a tough first down when it matters, but there's obviously going to be the majority of time a quarterback needs to slide to protect himself, because at the end of the day, the best thing for the team is not that a quarterback take on a linebacker, but that a quarterback stay healthy.
Steve, we got one more question, then we'll let you go. This week, obviously, A&M's first game with John Chavis as the defensive coordinator. You obviously played with, I'm going to say, several different types of defenses when you were at A&M. What is it like as a quarterback? How different is it between when you're thinking, man, we've got to score every time we get it, or else we're going to lose this game, versus, hey, if I mess up once, or we mess up once as an offense or twice, our defense is good enough to go to save it for us. How different is it approaching a game if you have confidence in your defense?
Yeah, that was always our struggle. We never played good against teams like Texas Tech and Oklahoma back in the early 2000s that were scoring a lot of points. So it was always hard on our defense to shut. I mean, nobody did. No, you know, quite frankly, they scored a lot of points versus good defenses. And so for a team that was ball control oriented and wanted to control the clock, we just didn't match up well. So I think having a defense that can create turnovers is going to be the biggest thing for us. We're going to give up points. In today's college football game, they're going to score points on us. There's no doubt about that. There's going to be games when we give up 40 points. But I think the key is that they create turnovers. And I'm excited to see Chavis' defense get out there man-to-man. They're going to have an extra guy in the box, and they're going to challenge quarterbacks to make throws. And as a quarterback, if they can line up and play man-to-man and receivers can't win, that's a hard day at the office, because they're going to have an extra guy in the box to stop the run, and they're going to many times rush 4 or 5 or maybe 6 and eat up your tailback. So you've got a lot of one-on-ones up front. That's hard, too, especially when you got good guys up front like Myles Garrett. So it'll be interesting to see how he creates matchups to allow guys like Myles expose defenses, and if we can play man-to-man coverage. So if they can create those 2 or 3 turnovers a game, then I don't think there's any doubt that we're going to be able to win a lot of football games, because you guys know, and as well as I do, that we're going to score points. You know, someone's proven that. So it'll be fun to watch. A lot of things to get excited about. I know Aggie fans are got their bluebell in hand. We're ready to roll.
There you go, Steven. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a fun opening weekend. And if you're going to Houston, maybe we'll see you down there. Or if not, we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Look forward to it, guys. Y'all take care. Have a good week.
There you go. Thank you, Steven. There you go. Lots of good stuff.
Always good talking to Steven McGee.
Yeah, he knows a little bit more about playing quarterback than we do.
I'll remember him most for the outside in Nebraska when they just had one or two IVs or whatever it was. And he's going to answer all our questions after 35 runs or whatever it was. And he was beaten down, but a winning man, because he had really run the gauntlet. And I mean, run the gauntlet.
Well, you can tell he's excited for the season. Yeah. I think we are all excited to finally see some stuff on the field. All right, let's go to break. When we come back, a couple of things to hit on real quick before the high school reports to come back with us. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Here's Brad Beard of Intercon.
Replacement windows, like other major purchase items, will at some time in the future need service, whether warranty or not. If you purchase your replacement windows from Intercon, you'll just phone our local number and we will take care of your issue in a prompt and professional way. Every one of Intercon's personnel who answer the phone will know how to involve the right people to find a solution. With Intercon, you won't spend hours manipulating through an automated phone tree. If you consider purchasing your replacement windows from another window source, a good exercise would be to call the service department of the other company. You might come away thinking it'd be better to put your trust in a local company with a solid and well-established reputation. Ask your friends and colleagues about the customer experience they had with Intercon. We are proud of our track record and our commitment to long-term customer service. Trust Intercon, a family-owned local business with all of your window needs.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
Hello, it's Toyota's annual clearance event. This is Jan.
Hi, Jan. Hey, what's going on down there anyway?
Excuse me?
I'm the traffic chopper guy, and I noticed a lot of people headed your way. What's the deal?
There's a huge deal, actually.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Well, you can get 0% APR financing on a bunch of Toyotas. The bold Camry, the versatile RAV4, oh, the fuel-sipping Prius.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
Oh, it is. Our clearance event only happens once a year.
You know, I don't see a helipad on your roof.
Oh, that's because we don't have one.
Ah, that's okay. I'll find a spot. See you soon.
Woo-hoo!
Toyota's annual clearance event is on now, but this event ends September 8th. Now, during Toyota's annual clearance event, get 0% APR financing for 60 months plus $1,500 special edition cash on a 2015 Tundra Crew Max Special Edition for a total savings over $6,100. Visit gstoffers.com for details. Offers available in select states and end 9850. Toyota, let's go places.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Monograms & More has expanded, selling their uniform line under the name M&M Team Apparel. Whether you play baseball, softball, football, soccer, basketball, or any other sport, M&M Team Apparel can get you the right uniform. Let the artists and production capabilities that have designed and printed apparel for over 24 years at Monograms & More help you not only supply the uniforms for the team, but anything the coaches, cheerleaders, and parents would need to wear. Call 693-7773 or click monograms-more.com.
Tune in to Tex-Eggs Radio.
Tex-Eggs Radio.
Each Monday and Friday for Aggie Football Talk with Billy Lucci. Go straight to the source with Lucci on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Robert Bloom, Robert Sesta. A few odd and end things to wrap up the show. A&M has two new scholarship players over the weekend. We talked last week about one of the great parts of the season is always the walk-ons getting the scholarships. A&M did their couple over the weekend. Bryce Dolezal, running back, and wide receiver Boone Niederhofer, both on scholarship now. I was compiling, you know, this isn't a spoiler. I had the wide receivers for our preseason preview thing. And I was looking at the stats. Boone Niederhofer had way more catches than most people probably think he did last year.
He had more catches, and so did Pope, than most people would think.
Yeah.
Both those guys.
Yeah.
But, of course, Niederhofer was a walk-on.
Yeah, but scholarship now for Boone Niederhofer. That's going on.
I thought the same thing when I was looking over the stats.
Yeah, so good for him. He earned it on the field, not just in practice. He earned his in actual games. He had more receiving yards than a lot of people on scholarship did. So there's that.
Yes, he did.
Washington is ending the RG3 era. They're going to go with Kirk Cousins to start the season. It's a fascinating moment when a franchise pulls the plug on a top 10 guy they traded up for, all this, and to admit it didn't work. It's a hard step to take.
Hard step to take, but think about the Redskins. They can be glad they did take Cousins. They were criticized. A lot of people criticized them. Why take another quarterback when you have RG3? But where would the Redskins be if they didn't have Kirk Cousins? And now, what does RG3 do?
Yeah, apparently looking at a trade. Who's going to trade for RG3?
Who wants him?
Yeah, I don't. Maybe.
I mean, a seventh round pick?
Yeah.
Is that the last one? The seven rounds, right? You go to seven rounds?
Yeah.
I'm serious. I mean, just you want someone to eat up a salary. I mean, that's what the Redskins want.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
But who's going to eat up some of that salary?
Buffalo, maybe even a more surprising quarterback announcement. Their starter for the season is going to be Tyrod Taylor. Talking about a guy we haven't heard his name in a while, the former Virginia Tech quarterback.
That doesn't surprise me with Rex Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, I guess good for him. So that's going on. Also, LSU has announced they're going to do a couple Super Bowl-style halftimes this year with a band. They're going to have a band come in and perform with the golden band from Tigerland. The first one they announced, One Republic. Have you ever heard of One Republic, Cease?
No.
Big fan?
No.
I'm not a huge fan of One Republic either, but they will be playing at at the LSU-Florida game this fall.
So LSU's planning for that nosedive. That's why they're bringing the band
I guess so. Do you you like the idea, though? Because nowadays you don't see...
It's entertainment.
You don't see the opposing bands very often.
No, you don't.
Especially in the SEC. You know, it's not like A&M's playing Baylor or Texas anymore. They can't bring the band 90 miles. Everyone's got to fly in the band and no one wants to pay for that. So
even A&M band?
If you're going to have dead time anyway, why not throw a quick concert out there? I'm all for it. A&M should bring in some... whoever. I wouldn't care who it was. Just something. Maybe not Big and Rich. That was pretty bad at the Liberty Bowl. But, you know, bring in a country artist. Of course, bring in... my favorite would be Taylor Swift. Maybe a little pricey. After last night, you might be able to get Miley fairly cheap. She went off the deep end at the VMAs. But there you go. Maybe get a halftime performer.
Get somebody in rehab.
I'm just saying, it's not a bad idea. If you're going to have a game that maybe isn't the highest profile game, or, you know, they're not going to bring their band anyway. You've got 10, 15 minutes to kill. Why not go ahead and just throw somebody out there?
If there's a night game and a day game, they can hit two concerts in one day.
Well, you know. And we've got this Halloween night South Carolina thing going on. They might as well do something weird for that halftime. They're already wearing black uniforms. Might as well go all the way. Get someone crazy.
Michael Jackson wannabe.
Get a rapper for halftime. Just to, you know, why not? Go all the way in. So there you go. A few odds and ends.
Boy, you really went off the deep end here, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, I was watching the VMAs last night. Miley she was being Miley. I don't know what she'd say. She's a whole different world these days.
You were watching. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. I got to keep in touch with the kids, see what's going on.
The kids. Okay.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I make a lot of, references to Miley Cyrus on the Brian broadcast. So I got to be, you know, keep the kids entertained. That's how I know the kids will tune in. They love the AM radio high school game.
Cool.
So I keep them entertained with that. Anyway, so there you go. Few random things today. That's good for this part of the show. Up next, we're going to talk high schools.
There you go.
Why not? Stay with us. A high school report is coming up here on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
News Talk 1620 WTAW. I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. On the same day Bluebell returns to store shelves, the Economic Development Administration says it's awarding a nearly $1.4 million grant to the Economic Development Foundation of Brenham to build a workforce and technical training center. Today's press release says recent issues at Bluebell Creameries and downturns in the oil and gas industries have resulted in a large spike in unemployment for the region. The hope is this project will attract new business to the area. It's been 20 years since the city of College Station purchased the property that is now the Northgate Promenade and parking lot. Something that was common in the early days, closing the lot for special events, is under consideration by the city council. James Benham, who reminisced about his days working at the North by Northgate festivals, says the district, which includes multiple apartment complexes that are home of thousands of college students, has the same potential as downtown Bryan.
First Friday has been critical for downtown Bryan continuing to accelerate and take off. I cannot express to you how critical having regular events in downtown Bryan has been for the growth and development of that district and tax generation in that district.
The council directed staff to draft a proposed policy after contacting all Northgate businesses for their opinion. A Bryan man who was stopped at a red light and asked a Bryan police officer about the city's noise ordinance landed in jail. 18-year-old Ellis Van Sickle was arrested for illegal possession of a .40-caliber handgun with two magazines containing 25 rounds, along with having a personal use quantity of marijuana and drug paraphernalia. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
St. Joseph Eagle football fans, here's a reminder for you to listen to St. Joseph Eagles football throughout the season on 88.5 FM. St. Joseph Eagle football is brought to you this season by these fine local businesses.
Jeff Paradowski, attorney at law, Glockson Family Partnership, Prosperity Bank, and Jason Bayinski, BCR Realtor.
Listen to St. Joseph Eagles football on 88.5 FM. Special thanks to all of our St. Joseph Eagle football sponsors.
Hot is here. What did you expect in the Brazos Valley in August? But Rattlers has great food and drink specials to fill you up and quench your thirst. Check out these great specials. Jimmy Dean Blazing Hot Sandwich and any size fountain drink or coffee, only $2. Or a fully loaded ballpark hot dog, only $1 with your registered Rattlers Rewards card. Be sure to stop by after work for an 18-pack of ice-cold beer from the fine families of beer from Bud, Miller, and Coors, only $15.99. Rattlers. Friendly, clean, Texan.
Green Teams welcomes the Texas A&M University Construction Science Department to its family of customers. Like many other businesses, Texas A&M's Construction Science Department uses Green Teams for interior landscaping. Green Teams also offers short-term plant rentals for events like weddings and conferences. Make your work environment more pleasant with plants. For more information about interior landscaping, call Susie Gallagher with Green Teams, 823-7551. Green Teams.
Walking, running, jumping, stretching, pulling, pushing. Any repetitive motion can cause wear and damage to your body. Using advanced diagnostic equipment and computerized technologies, the orthopedic sports medicine physicians and therapists at Scott & White Healthcare can treat all of your sports injuries, no matter how complex. Don't get sidelined by injuries. Pursue your passion in top form. Visit sportsmedicine.sw.org for more information.
Plays all your favorite songs.
One great song after another.
Chip Howard Sports Talk. Weekdays 4 to 6.
Yeah.
And only on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. Now, it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Time for the High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. Fellas, it's opening week. How was it?
We actually have some real-life football to talk about.
Yeah, all right. That was okay. That was good. That was a good change.
And we didn't go 0-4 on the locals. That's a plus.
I'm 0-1. So yep. I got to step my game up.
You're the one who was talking trash at the beginning of the year last year.
I didn't know that I was ever going to be involved. So I could throw stones from the other side of the canyon.
Yeah, gotcha.
But now I'm in it. So I have to step my game up this week.
Well, now you need to be in it to win it.
That's exactly right. I didn't know I was going to be in.
Hey, I want to talk about some stuff other than the local stuff because I thought there were some really interesting games out in the area. And a couple of games that really jumped out at me were Franklin won 56-0 over Rogers. I thought Franklin would be good, and I said we talked about that in the football section story that their defense was going to be better, but doesn't look like the offense has dropped off very much either. I was really impressed by that score.
Well, when you talked to Coach Hedrick at Franklin, he had a really good feeling about the defense. That's where your good feeling came from, and Mike's not the kind of guy – that gets all flowery and goes out on the limb about stuff. He's old school,
right?
You know, and that's what you would expect from somebody in the Hedrick family coaching tree. And actually, one of the main not off branches, and so it. You expected them to be good, but Rodgers usually is pretty good. And Rodgers
went three rounds in the playoffs last year, you know?
Yeah, but Rodgers going all the way back to the Lee Fedora time, I think they like their offense over there. Now, I know it's different when you get a new coaching staff in, but it does get your attention when Franklin goes out and shuts them out.
That one impressed me. And the other side of the ball, when we talked about Leon and Keith Sitton talked about how good his offense, he said it might be the best offense he's had since he's been the head coach, and they go out and win big over Normandy as well, and put up 46 points in doing that. I was really impressed with those two scores. Those two really jumped out at me. And, of course, those guys will meet each other the final game of the regular season, so we're a long way from that. But I thought those were two really big games that just leaped out at me, 46-8 over Normandy.
And Leon, I just look at the information that we had here. It looked like it was spread out. You know, Coach Sitton told you they had a good offense. But I don't think just relying on one person. It looks like they had three guys run for 100 yards each. That's a pretty good balance.
Yeah, and that's what they thought they'd have. I mean, but again, their defense played well also, because Normandy went three rounds in the playoffs. Granted, it's a new coach there, so they're changing the system as well in Normandy. So that might have been part of the situation there. But I just thought that was pretty. Those were two pretty impressive games. Maybe the upset of the week, though, I thought Chilton was deep in the playoffs. They lost to Iola in a game that they played over here at Bryan. And Milano goes out and beats them in the opening game of the season. I thought that was another really, really good win for the Milano Eagles.
For the area.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I talked to their coach, and when we were working on the preview, he felt pretty good about some of the guys that they were getting back. They had a receiver who defensive back, a guy who was their starting wide receiver and starting safety. And when you're talking about Tua, if you have a really if you have a really good athlete that plays both ways, you lose him. I don't know if he broke his leg or broke his ankle. Anyway, they lost that guy the second game of the season, and I think that makes a big difference. But it seemed like to me that he felt pretty good about what they had as well. So some of the teams in the area that you never know, David, because we go into the regular season, everybody's optimistic. You know, last week when everybody was undefeated, there's not too many coaches that are telling you and me, well, it's going to be a rough year. Yeah. We don't have very much. But those kind of wins are sort of
A long way to go, but it's a great way to kick off the season, I think. I mean, if you're going to try to get yourself going on what you think could be a really good year, that's a pretty impressive way to do it.
Well, those three teams that you mentioned, too, that Franklin and Leon and Milano – had success last year and are basically successful programs. I think Leon in particular maybe is trending upward from where they were before. But when you have a program like that that's had some success and loses some people, and then they come right back out and have success early and maybe win either more convincingly or more impressively than you thought, I think that gives them a boost going forwards. Now, the other thing that you talked about in terms of the area schools is, obviously, we got some teams out there that won state championships, and you said going into the year that you thought Navasota and Cameron and Bremon, that all three of those teams were going to be good again and maybe good enough to contend for another championship.
Well, I think they are all still good enough to contend.
They didn't do anything this first week to change your mind.
Yeah, Bremon won over Hearn 66-14. I'm just going to grab the scores. The Yeoman their win was particularly impressive. I mean, they beat Conley 63-14. So I mean,
if that game had been Cameron 45, Conley 35 or something like that, it wouldn't have surprised you.
Hardly.
But to win that convincingly, it's an awfully good start for the Omen. And I found it interesting. I guess you pay more attention to some of these things than I do. But the Navasota victory over Nuevo Leon on Saturday, the team from 49-12, Mexico.
49-12, right.
What probably you said was more impressive than people might have thought, because you expect Navasota against that team for it to be a rout, and obviously it was a very convincing win. But you said that's a program that's getting better, and
they
so
are.
It's maybe a little bit more of a meaningful win, and particularly if they're playing people like Navasota.
And they are playing good people. They beat Galveston Ball right after the Navasota game last year. So they were 2-2 against Texas teams a year ago. So that program, which came in here one time looking for games to play, now and they'll take any games they can get, and they usually just got hammered. They came in and have played very well the last couple of seasons. I thought that's not by any means a bad win. And how can you say you win 49-12? It's a bad win anyway. But I thought Navasota, I thought that was a good win for them. Saw a lot of photos of post-game things where the teams got together, which I thought was pretty cool too. And I was really impressed. They're all over the map with that schedule, because you're looking for people that will play Navasota. There aren't a whole lot of them out there. And then you take down the line, we're talking about Bremont getting the win. Bremont's going to, instead of an easy game that they would have had it somewhere down the line, they're going to play Mart this year. So they swap some games. So people are trading up for tougher games. I kind of like the way those teams are starting. The other team that won a championship was the TCAL championship, was the six-man championship for Allen Academy. And they lost big to Coolidge in the opener. But keep this in mind, Coolidge is a really solid Division I, 1A school, and they made a good run early, had some injuries late and kind of fell off late in the year. But a loss to Coolidge is not anything to feel terribly bad about, but it's not something they're used to at Allen Academy either.
Okay, we got a few minutes left. We'll do kind of the Reader's Digest version on the local public schools, and we'll talk about them more as the week goes along. Just you and Aubrey went over to Montgomery. Probably that would have been a win for the Vikings did you not have Aubrey in the booth with you. But that was a game. That was a frustrating start to them, and as we pointed out, they were frustrated with the way they started against Montgomery last year and got on a roll.
It looked like a lot like they did against Montgomery last year. They didn't play well. I didn't think their offense got much of, and Aubrey can kind of back me up on that. I thought their offense was you talk about people being pedestrian. That was a little worse than that.
They had like one drive where it was like, oh, okay, I see what they were trying to build up, and right. That was it. I mean, other than that, they were terrible.
And the thing is, I still do believe that there's a lot of quality in that offensive line for Brian, but I blamed a little bit of the problem, their breakdowns, on what the offensive line did. I think the defense showed a lot for Brian. I thought they're going to be a really solid defense. I think maybe, now I'm not going to tell Ross Rogers how to make a call on what to do that, but I thought they looked their best when they attacked, as opposed to sitting back just trying to play a standard defense. When they attacked, those guys were scary good.
And then the game that I covered, A&M consolidating Coppers Cove, was really a stunner. 51-14.
Got A&M consolidated a couple of votes in the AP poll this week.
I looking at the game, I think Cove is young and rebuilding, and in particular the quarterback, having to replace their quarterback, made a big difference. It didn't complete any passes in the first half, but Consolidated's defense did play much better. It gave up 150-yard touchdown run and not a lot of huge plays other than that, which has been the thing that's really killed them. And then offensively, I tell you what, the guy, if we were picking a Brazos Valley player of the week, you know, there's a guy that had much better statistics, but Kobe Peel from A&M Consolidated had a remarkable, I sort of say debut.
It's an offensive defensive game.
He played at the end of last year as a true freshman, but this year he was coming in and he was going to be their stud guy at safety. He played well at safety, had an interception and returned it, I think, 47 yards. But they're running him at receiver in just certain packages. He caught like five passes and two of them for touchdown.
Right.
And just
did he pick off a pass too?
He also intercepted a pass and returned it 47 yards. So he had a big game, and David Raphael had been telling me that he thought Mason Hixon looked like a different quarterback than what he was last year when they played Copper's Cove. I didn't see that as much during the scrimmage, but he certainly looked the part Friday night. On the other hand,
I've always liked Hixon, and I heard some criticism of him last year, and I thought the criticism was because he doesn't have the arm that Kobe Miller had, right. And you don't have to have the arm right. that another guy had if you direct the offense well, and I always thought he did
right.
that well.
He really did a good job of getting the ball to the right people. Tyree Merchant had 170-something yards in the first half.
Right.
Yeah, so they were big time. A huge win for College Station. I talked to Steve Huff this morning. I also talked to the Waco High coach that the Cougars would be playing this week.
One of Johnny Tusa's old guys,
yeah,
right.
And I'll be heading over to College Station in a couple hours to do a feature interview. But 45-0 over a Terry team that beat them in the game that you covered last year, that's a pretty impressive bounce back. Steve Huff really liked his defense, and the interesting thing is we went into it saying, can they stop that Veer attack? But there was a lot of questions about Reese Easterling because he was taken over. Everybody knew about Ty Brock. He breaks his leg in the scrimmage. It looked like to me they're going to be okay on that side of the ball based on what I saw. And if they play good defense, I think they'll figure out what the people they have. I think they have enough weapons.
Hard to lose if you're shutting people out.
Yeah, but I think they have weapons over there, and they have some guys that they'll be able to score some points with.
And I thought pretty good game, even though they lost it 28-10 for Rutter, because they didn't get a lot of yardage offensively, but I thought they hung tough with a very athletic and a very large team from Shoemaker, so I thought it was a good start for Rutter as well.
Well, and Brad Cox went out and covered that game for us, and as I looked at Brad's game story, the thing that catch your attention real quick is the two defensive linemen from Colleen Shoemaker who are both committed to SEC schools. And you go, okay, you didn't see that in a lot of places. Now, I mean, the guys at Montgomery stunted and did a lot of things that made it difficult for Brian. I don't think two of the Montgomery linemen are going to go play at SEC schools. The Coppers Cove guys.
Those schools are Alabama and LSU,
yeah.
By the way.
Oh,
so
yeah. So,
I don't know if that matters, but it's not Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Actually, Friday night, I can't get Aubrey to do it, so I'm going to be driving over to Killeen to cover Rutter and Ellison, and I think that'll be really interesting to see. It'll give us a good measure, I think, of Rutter, because that was an encouraging performance, but where do they go from there?
So. And they'll get a different kind of team, a little bit more based on their offense and the quarterback. And I like Rutter's chances in a matchup like that a little bit better. They're going to beat Cedar Creek. I really believe that. And they play the game three here. But it could be a huge step if they can get a victory there.
Aubrey, we got 1 week in the books, and considering David's virtually guaranteed us two or three teams going to, what is it, NRG Stadium?
NRG Stadium.
NRG Stadium. For the championship. Yeah. That means we got about 14 or 15 more weeks of this.
So you're saying when I go down there Saturday for the A&M game, I need to
save a parking spot. Yeah. We'll be back for state championship.
Leave a coat over one of the seats because I'll be back.
Yeah,
right?
We'll leave a letter to the teams that are going to make it. What was it the team did that 1 year in the flight? Do you remember that, the Super Bowl? They, like, left them notes in the locker room or whatever.
Is that right?
Yeah, they said they were going to be back for whatever it was. I think it might have been some title game. But they played in the same stadium early in the season and left themselves a note in the locker room.
Like, I'll be back.
And right. Came back and got it at the end of the year. So there you go.
Hey, Kip, the AP poll came out today, Cameron. Of the 25 votes in the AP poll in Class 3A, Cameron got 25 of them.
That is pretty good. Usually
yeah, not bad.
Good.
Even David got that right.
Well, there we go. It was a fun week one. Moving on to week two. Got to get back at it. That was today's High School Report brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. And I think technically that was week zero, right?
They changed it to week one.
Okay,
now.
good.
Although one of the coaches did call it week zero.
Okay, good. I didn't like that. All right, so now that we got that sorted out, good. We can move on to other things. All right, we're going to
be week 0.5?
Oh, Larry, don't even get us started.
I'm sorry.
I think it's time I take the headset off.
We got to go to break. We'll come back, wrap up with the news. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Zone headquarters in Houston for the Aggies and the Sun Devils will be at the Holiday Inn NRG Medical Center. Starting at 3 o'clock, Dusty and I'll get you ready for the new season with the Coors Light pregame show. Then, after the game, starting 30 minutes after the game, the party known as the post-game call-in show, both live from the lobby of the Holiday Inn NRG. If you're looking for a place to stay the night before or after the game, the Holiday Inn NRG is attached to the parking lot of the stadium. They've also just underwent a $12 million renovation. They've got a full-service bar, full-service restaurant. And if you're looking for a place to park for the game, they have a $30 parking special, which includes two drinks that you can enjoy while listening to the pregame show, or take them to go as you walk to the stadium for kickoff 2015 versus Arizona State. The Zone headquarters, and it can be yours too, is the Holiday Inn NRG Medical Center.
It's time for Tailgater Truths, presented by Dish. Truth number 29. Game day without HD is like a tailgate without bacon-wrapped bacon with a side of bacon. With the Tailgater from Dish, you get mobile satellite TV and quarterback sacking HD. It sets up in 15 quick minutes or less and automatically connects to a satellite signal. So the only games you're playing are the ones you want to. Plus, there's no long-term contracts. You can pay as you go. Or add the Tailgater to your Dish Home account for only $7 a month. So fire up the grill and the TV and start making tail greatness this season. Just be sure to use a napkin before touching that remote, Mr. Bacon Fingers. To learn more, visit dish.com/tailgate. Restrictions include prepayment of all monthly and one-time fees.
Water. Every living thing needs it to survive. The Texas economy runs on water, too, to grow our food, for manufacturing and jobs, to keep our homes and cities running, for recreation, and to create the electricity we use every day. Water. What would we do without it? The water we conserve today can serve us tomorrow. This important message brought to you by the Texas Water Foundation and the Texas Association of Broadcasters.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Hello.
For more information on the Zone 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150, visit zone1150.com now.
The Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, and Sam Peschek is in the room. We're in his Nebraska shirt. It's opening week. You're psyched. Yeah. You got, like, double psyched. Not only is it opening week, but you were down in Brenham today.
I was.
For
Bluebell's back, baby.
Woo! Bluebell's back!
It was rowdy. It was a rowdy time. It was awesome. They had stores selling out of ice cream in, like, under an hour. Like, stuff flying off the shelves at 400. I think it was, like, 200 gallons. You know, like every 10 minutes.
Wow.
Something crazy like that. Yeah, everybody's pretty stoked down there.
Everyone is pretty stoked everywhere. Bluebell is the greatest thing ever. Had you had it before?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I had it before. There's just a guy from Brenham, you know, walking around in the courthouse area, handing out these little single-serving cups of vanilla. And it was a spiritual experience.
Yeah.
You know, having that for the first time in four months.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it was a blast.
We've both come out of and re-entered a drought since Bluebell left us.
Yeah, what else has happened in the last 4 months?
That's what the paper. Like, that's what the whole paper should be tomorrow, is what's happened since Bluebell left.
I think they built an entire east side, like west
yeah,
side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A whole new Kyle Field. Yeah, so a lot's happened.
Yeah.
Great, obviously, news, not just for our community here. Everyone loves Bluebell, but also for the town of Brenham.
Yeah.
A lot of jobs were affected with all this. I assume that's part of the story. I don't know what else is going on. But great time down there.
Yeah, Blinn College announced that they're opening with a U.S. government agency thanks to a $1.35 billion grant to open up a job training facility to help kind of get those laid-off workers back into the workforce. Cool. I haven't been able to get a hold of anybody at Bluebell yet today, any higher-up folks, to see if anybody's going to be hired back now they're getting rolling again, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. What else we got coming up tomorrow?
Do we really need to talk about anything else?
No, I mean, like, I really, that's frankly all. What's your favorite flavor?
Vanilla.
Yeah, you're just a regular vanilla guy?
Yeah, I'm just straight up, you can put stuff in it. You know?
That's my, there is something comforting about a regular old just scoop of Bluebell vanilla. Gotta be honest, I love the chocolate chip cookie dough, though.
Ooh, that's one I haven't had yet.
Yeah, well, because the Bluebell one has the biggest cookie dough chunks I've ever seen. They're amazing.
At what point is it, not cookie dough, and it's just, like, a small, like, cookie?
That's well, it's not cooked.